The U.S. has signed a treaty that would create the first permanent international court to try people for genocide, war crimes, and other crimes against humanity. There are now 139 signers. 27 nations have formally approved the treaty, nearly half the number needed for the court to come into being. President Clinton said he decided to sign the treaty so the U.S. could continue to influence its content. He also said he would not submit it to the Senate for ratification or recommend that his successor do so immediately. Benjamin Ferenz is a former Nuremberg prosecutor and a supporter of the International Criminal Court.
It would be located in The Hague in Holland, and it would try important leaders who committed crimes of such gravity that they were of concern to the international community as a whole. And only those who were responsible leaders for directing and conducting such policies, such as genocide, crimes against humanity, possibly the crime of aggression at a later date, would be brought before an independent tribunal of international judges brought in from all parts of the world and subject to the determination whether their action was legal or not.
There is already convened at the present time a war crimes tribunal in The Hague. How different would it be from that? In other words, why have it?
It would be completely different. We now have in The Hague, first of all, the International Court of Justice, which has existed after the First World War. And that is to try disputes between states which consent to the jurisdiction of the court, involving only state matters and not individual responsibility. We have, in addition to that, the International Criminal Tribunal for crimes committed in the former Yugoslavia, which is a very limited jurisdiction to crimes committed after a certain date only in that particular territory, just as we have gotten another similar court for crimes committed in Rwanda after 1994. Which were acts of genocide committed there. But these are very restricted courts with very limited jurisdiction as to time and place, and retroactive to a specific period of time. They have nothing to do with the permanent International Criminal Court, which we are talking about, which is a follow-up on Nuremberg, really, and will hold accountable persons who commit these major crimes, wherever they may occur in future in the world.
Now, could such a court go after a country, leaders of a country, that did not sign that treaty?
If they are committing laws which are generally recognized to be violations of international law, common international law, yes, they could. For example, the United States has gone after Noriega for drug trafficking and crimes of that kind. Israel seized Eichmann in Argentina, and there were no treaties involved at all, because these were considered genocide, torture, crimes of that magnitude are considered subject to universal jurisdiction.
As you know, many in the Congress and many in the Pentagon are very concerned about this court and would stand against it. There was a letter from Senator Jesse Helms and Senator John Warner, who is chairman of the Armed Services Committee. They said this court could inhibit the ability of the United States to use its military to meet alliance obligations and participate in multinational operations, including humanitarian interventions to save civilian lives. That's a strong opposition.
It is strong opposition, but it's misplaced. As long as we don't have a clear-cut definition of which interventions are really humanitarian rather than aggression, it would, if adopted as a general doctrine, allow all states to attack other nations saying we're doing it for humanitarian purposes. Saddam Hussein could be trying to liberate his colleagues in Kuwait by marching in and freeing them. We first have to agree upon which interventions are humanitarian and which ones are illegal.
As you know, President Clinton had many reservations about the wording of the treaty and the court itself. Why would he sign it under those conditions?
The inhibitions which existed and were declared immediately in Rome, when the United States was one of the very few nations which didn't sign, were also not well-founded. In the meanwhile, those particular issues have been debated at the United Nations, as well as outside of the United Nations by the academic community, including leaders of the military justice system. And it became clear that our fears were unfounded, and they could easily be met by making certain corrections, either in the wording of the statute itself or things to be done outside. And we've been doing that.
Mr. Ferenz, thank you for your time, sir.
You're welcome.